And you're listening to Mizzou Music on Classical 90.5 FM. Thanks for joining me this evening. I'm Aaron Hay. We are continuing our look at the guest and resident composers of this year's 10th anniversary Mizzou International Composers Festival. Joining me by phone from New Haven, Connecticut, is our second guest composer, Amy Beth Kirsten. Amy Beth, thank you so much for taking some time out of your day and speaking to us.
Hi, Aaron. It's so nice to be with you, and I look forward to chatting with you today.
Oh, thank you. So you got a little bit of a late start in composition, right?
Yes, that's correct. I was a singer-songwriter for a while, and I didn't really kind of think of that as composing because it was something I sort of just did, and I didn't really think too much about what I was doing. It was really very much, you know, intuition based. And then, and I wrote a couple of choral pieces when I was younger, like in my teens. And then I started studying composition seriously, right after my 30th birthday, which is a little bit late for, a lot of people start, somewhat earlier than that. So,
yeah. What drew you to it then?
Well, I think, you know, it was right after 9/11 happened, and I had been kind of performing as a singer-songwriter for a while, for a few years, and working kind of odd day jobs here and there, and then that big event happened, and I think it, you know, it affected a lot of people and, you know, caused people to think about their lives and what kind of a difference they could make in other people's lives. And so right after that happened, I decided I was going to be a doctor, a medical doctor. And I started taking all these science classes, at the community colleges, just kind of get my feet wet in that. And I loved it. And I did pretty well. But I just kind of like after about a semester, I woke up, I sort of just sat up in bed one morning and I thought to myself, you know, there's more than one way to help people. And this, I guess this thought had been kind of chewing on my brain for a while, just as I was thinking about what to do with my life, you know. And this, I think it was right around January, and I had missed most of the deadlines for master's degrees. And I think I even submitted my application late to Roosevelt University in Chicago and somehow miraculously got in and was just over the moon and started in the fall. And that was the right after I turned 30. And I kind of didn't look back after that.
Right on. And so then having listened to some of your work, did your experience as a singer-songwriter influence the way that you compose music? And by that, I mean, like, a lot of your work seems to incorporate the musician as more than someone who just plays an instrument, but as an actual performer of the piece, where they're actually, you know, interacting with more than just the instrument. They're interacting with the room, with the audience, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I think definitely my experience as a singer-songwriter affected the way that I compose, and it also, you know, that what comes out of me now is definitely affected by that, because I do use my voice when I'm composing. And the other thing that I think is really important to the whole picture is the idea that my undergraduate degree is in vocal jazz performance. So the idea that the human voice is an instrument, just like a trumpet, and it just happens to be one of those instruments that uses text or not. And in jazz, you know, improvisation is, you know, a lot of non-texted kind of syllables. And I think the combination of those two worlds, the singer-songwriter world and my studies as a vocal jazz person, really influenced how I compose and the kind of music I'm making. Because, you know, the idea that, you know, as a singer-songwriter, I was playing the piano and singing. So I was doing these two things at once and also looking out to the audience and telling a story. And so that was kind of a trifecta, you know. And then if you add in the whole interest in improvisation and thinking about the voice as an instrument. It adds this kind of other element to it. So, you know, instrumentalists, when I see a violinist, oftentimes I see this beautiful instrument and hear the beautiful sound of the string, but also I'm seeing a performer and that performer's body and that performer's voice, you know, and the ability to kind of tell a story with all of those things. I think that to me is the most intriguing thing.
Yeah. Okay. So then tell us a little bit about the piece of yours that Alarm Will Sound will be performing on the first night of the Mizzou International Composers Festival on the 25th.
Okay, so yeah, so this is a small section of what will be about an 80-minute piece, and I call this kind of work composed theater. So it really is a kind of theatrical piece in which the instrumentalists are going to be portraying a character. So it was really fun to think about, okay, there's 20 of them in this group and there's a conductor. How can I create a character that is kind of this omnipotent orchestra sound, you know? Mm-hmm. And so it's called Jacob in Chains. That's the name of the whole piece. The scene is about 8 minutes long that will be performed that night on Wednesday. And the whole piece is scored for Alarm Will Sound, so chamber orchestra, actor, and mezzo-soprano via film. So one of the characters kind of exists just in this film world as kind of this external world to what's happening in the internal world of the stage. And so what people will see on Wednesday night is Alarm Will Sound playing music like they normally do, but also there will be an actor on stage who will be portraying this character, Jacob, who's dead. And he's kind of trying to make sense of these fragmented memories that are coming to him from his life. And he also, it's kind of obliquely inspired by Charles Dickens' character, Jacob Marley, from A Christmas Carol. Mm-hmm. Although it's not intended to be a period piece in any way, this is a modern character. So Jacob is a modern man who's dealing with this kind of problematic life that he led and memories of his death and trying to kind of piece together what's happening to him. So it's kind of dark, actually, but I'm really excited because I think, you know, Alarm Will Sound is just so terrific, and the actor Richard Crawford is just going to be fantastic in the role of Jacob. So
very cool. Well, I can't wait to see that. So tell me a little bit, well, tell all of us a little bit about what your role as a guest composer is beyond having your pieces performed by Alarm Will Sound on the opening night of the festival. What else will you be doing while you're here?
Oh, goodness. So it's going to be really fun. So I'm going to be giving master classes on my works. I'm going to be giving private lessons to the fellows, the younger composers, going to be attending rehearsals of their new pieces for Alarm Will Sound and kind of helping them ask the right questions and shaping the rehearsal process a little bit. And and then attending rehearsals of, there's a couple of chamber pieces of mine that are being programmed as well. So attending those rehearsals. So there's a lot going on. I'm just super excited. It's going to be a busy week, but it's going to be fantastic.
Oh, for sure. So you're excited to work with the younger composers, and I'm sure also that you'll be getting back a lot from them as well, as far as, you know, like ideas or energy or what have you, as far as
absolutely
like working with, yeah. Anytime you're working with collaborators or other artists, you know.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, you know, there are a couple things to say about that. And the first is that, you know, 10 years ago at the first festival there at Mizzou with Alarm Will Sound, I was one of the inaugural fellows, young composers. So So it's really fantastic now to be on the other side of things, coming back as a guest who's going to be, you know, looking. I'll be thinking about my experience there 10 years ago. And I'm sure memories will flood back as I do. But yeah, I mean, working with young people and just kind of understanding what they're thinking about and what they're listening to and what kinds of, you know, challenges they're running into, and trying to help them figure out how best to express the ideas that they have musically, that's always really a great joy and a pleasure to do. So there's a lot of, for me, there's a lot of nostalgia around coming this summer, because it's an anniversary for me too. It's 10 years since I worked with Alarmal Sound for the first time. 10 years of teaching. I mean, I had just graduated from with my doctorate at that point, and so ever since I've been teaching and kind of doing this freelance composer thing. So it's a milestone for me as well. But yeah, you know, the energy you get from the young people is just fantastic. So I'm looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, what a great story too, to come back and get to re-experience it, but you know, from the other end.
Yeah, exactly, too.
Well, Amy Beth, we really look forward to seeing you here in July, at the end of July, for our 10th annual Mizzou International Composers Festival. And I really look forward to hearing your pieces and, of course, to the 8 world premieres from our amazing resident composers that will also be here at the Mizzou International Composers Festival. And thanks so much for taking some time out of your schedule to speak with us here tonight.
Thanks, Aaron. I'll see you at the festival.
All righty.